Blog Talk Radio. My lovelies, it's Madam Perry welcoming you back here into Madam Perry Salon. So glad you're here. And if you're listening live right now on Tuesday night, please click the follow button so that I can, I know you're here. And I'd love it if you'd follow and put comments down there. Not the kind of silly people fighting, saying stupid things like they do on YouTube, but the kind that my people say about what they like about the guest or what they want to hear and who they want me to have on. So go ahead and click down there. I have, and he's almost in the studio now, but I have a guest tonight I'm super excited about, and I'm going to open the door and see if he's out there. I think he's just pulled up. Yeah, I think that's his entourage. Okay. All right. RJ. RJ, is that you?
Good evening, madam.
Good evening, darling. Good evening. So glad to have you here in the Corgi Manor Castle here.
Great
and,
to be here.
Yeah. I like the sound of your entourage out there. I don't know if they were pulling your sleigh or your carriage or whatever. It's kind of foggy out there. But does that just come with you?
I was just dealing with the valet. We had to find a place to park the hearse. But, yeah, I made it here mostly alive.
Okay, I like the sound of that. And, of course, I know there's a lot of people listening tonight that know who you are. For the few that don't, You're really in for a good night. I have R.J. Cavender. R.J., he's an active member of the Horror Writers Association and the thrice Bram Stoker Award-nominated editor of the Horror Library Anthology series. He's co-editor of the Bram Stoker Award and co-editor of the Bram Stoker Award finalist Horror for Good, a charitable anthology, all from Cutting Block Press. What does he do in his spare time? He's a managing editor at Dark Regions Press, the co-founder, editor-in-chief at Cutting Block Books, co-chair and pitch sessions coordinator for StokerCon 2016 that we'll be talking about later, because where else is StokerCon going to be next year but in Sin City, baby? He's also the host of the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat, Tucson Festival of Books Writers Retreat, the Tucson Dia de los Muertos Writers Retreat, and the Winchester Mystery House Writers Retreat for 2016, which has that's the Winchester House that every now and then some psychic goes into with a bunch of cameras.
Oh yeah, it's a place. It's Rose Red was actually loosely based. Stephen King's story was loosely based on the Winchester.
And that was the mansion. It was built by the Winchester Library. The Rifles.
Right. She actually was in cahoots with some psychics who told her that she needed to continue building onto the house for an indeterminate amount of time to appease the ghosts of the Indians and settlers who were killed by her husband's rifles. So she built and built and built onto this house. It's really impressive, and it's like being inside someone else's psychosis. You feel like you're haunting the house just by going through the tour. You feel like a ghost in someone else's dream. It's really a creepy place.
How many times have you been in it?
I've been to the Winchester twice now, and then when I go back for the tour, that'll be a third time. It'll be the first time I do a nighttime tour. I'm really pushing to get a nighttime flashlight tour for our group.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh, I kind of want to go to that.
Well, speaking of creepy old buildings, I mean, the first retreat that I attempted was the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat, and that's the one that's going to be that's coming up in October, and that's the one that I'm running a Indiegogo campaign on right now. But the Stanley Hotel, for those who aren't familiar, is the haunted birthplace of The Shining, the novel by Stephen King. It's not the filming location for this Kubrick film. That was mostly exteriors at another hotel in Portland and sound stages in England. But this is the inspiration for The Shining novel, and the Stanley Hotel was also the filming location for the miniseries that they did in the 90s that was directed by Mick Garris and the screenplay written by Stephen King himself.
Okay, so then tell me about the Stanley Hotel Writers Conference. Now, how long does it last? What goes on? Is it mostly all horror themed writers or what?
Right, yeah, the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat is a four-day artist and author retreat. I don't exclude anyone. If you're a horror fan and you want to come up, absolutely. If you're not an artist or you just want to come hang out with a bunch of writers, it's a good time. This is our second annual one. It's going to be October 22nd through the 25th. And it's and that's this year, 2015, and that's going to be at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. And it is the busiest weekend of the year for the hotel. And so through my retreat, I was able to get a group discount on the rooms. But that weekend is the same weekend that they have their annual Shining Masquerade Ball. So they clearly embrace their Shining connection. And it's they also have a murder mystery, which I'm pushing to have them change the murder mystery dinner to the Red Room mystery dinner. I mean, it just makes sense, you know. If you're going to
get
on, right? And the house brew is actually Red Rum Ale. You can order a Red Rum in the bar, and you just don't call the bartender Lloyd. He gets that a lot. But it is at let me back up a little bit. The Shining, the Stanley Hotel, the connection with The Shining is that Stephen King did stay there, and it was 40 years ago. It was just an anniversary. But he did stay there with his wife, and it was a slow weekend. I'm not sure that they were closing down, that's part of the tour that they'll tell you about at the Stanley Hotel. But he was there, and he was one of the few guests that was actually there for the weekend. And so they kind of had a skeleton crew, pun intended, but of staff, and there weren't a lot of people there. But he kind of had the run of the place, and when he went down to the bar, there was really nobody else there, just him and the bartender. And because it was the end of the season, and the bartender the bartender didn't want to open the books again, because he bounced the books and everything to close down. He told Stephen King, "Your money is no good here," and he poured him a few drinks and on the house. And so that transferred into the book. And on his way back up to his room, he got kind of lost, because the hallways do all look very much the same. And as rumor has it, you know, he kind of freaked himself out a little bit at the Stanley Hotel. And so he went back to his room, which was room 217, the same room that I stay in for 4 days every weekend that we do the Stanley Hotel retreat. I do. And so we went back to 217, and supposedly that's when he started writing notes down to write The Shining. And 217, I actually have a package with my retreat where I'm offering authors a block of time to write uninterrupted from 217. There's a huge writing desk in there, which not all the rooms have. And so it's a beautiful suite. I stay in there for 4 nights, and I wanted to give authors a chance to write, you know, where Stephen King wrote. And so we've got a 217 package that includes that and all your discounts on the tours and everything like that. And it also includes some editing, because I am a freelance editor. I've worked with countless authors without name dropping bestsellers to new authors. But I really wanted the idea to be that, you know, you come for the weekend and you come to do all these activities, and there's a lot to do at the Stanley Hotel that weekend. But with the writing retreat, I wanted the authors to have a chance to, you know, walk away with some actual edited pages of whatever they're working on, and have a chance to write new stuff while they're here as well. But there's certainly a lot of distractions. I mean, not only does the hotel have, you know, two huge events between a masquerade ball and a murder mystery dinner, but we're also doing an event over at the library in town, and then I've rented out the library at the hotel to do a reading our first night, and we're doing a as they call it, a cannibal convoy into the Rockies.
Oh, no.
It's sort of like that drive that the Torrances took on their first trip up there. Trail Ridge Road in the Rockies takes you over to Grand Lake, Colorado, and it's a very twisty, turny, beautiful drive, but you end up at 12,000 feet and you're over the timberline. So you're up where trees don't even grow anymore, but it's a cool drive. And we took it last year over to this beautiful, this great little barbecue place in Grand Lake, Colorado. And I mean, it's just a beautiful little town. And we do that the first afternoon that we're there on Friday. We're going to do that. But I've got pre-events in Denver where we're going to be visiting one of the biggest commercial haunted houses, haunted attraction haunted houses, not scary old hotel haunted houses, but it's the 13th floor in Denver. And Mike McCarty, who works for K&B Studios, came last year, and he's worked on everything from the recent Poseidon Adventure to From Dusk Till Dawn doing special effects. I mean, he's worked on hundreds of horror films, and so he'd be a guy that would know special effects and would know a haunted house. And he said, you know, that's a multi-million dollar production that, you know, has some of the best effects I've ever seen in a haunted house. So I promised my guests tonight on the radio shows that I'm doing that I would have information for anybody that wants free tickets, because the 13th floor Denver haunted house is giving me 20 free tickets. 10 of them I've already taken up with people I know that are going, but anyone else that wants to join us on Wednesday for the pre-event before we drive up to Estes Park in the Stanley Hotel, just know that we're staying there in Denver, and we're going to the 13th floor haunted house, again, to plug them, because they're giving me tickets. Anybody that wants to go, just send me a Facebook message letting me know that you're going to be there Wednesday and you want a free ticket. And you're getting a free ticket to like a $30 haunted house, or maybe even more than that if you do the Fast Pass, which I think we're getting with our tickets as well. So now earlier that day in Wednesday, we're also doing a field trip over to Starbuds Recreational and Medicinal Marijuana Dispensary. And I just figured it's something different. I'm actually a card-carrying a patient here in Arizona of medicinal marijuana. But the reason I ended up getting my card is because last year in Colorado, I visited a recreational place, and I really, you know, now without getting into my medical history, I just decided that it was for me. But the recreational side of it was really neat as well. And I figured, you know, even if you're not a smoker, even if you're not, you know, a card-carrying patient, when's the last time you've been in a room with like 200 pounds of pot? I mean, it's kind of a neat field trip, you know. It's going to be educational. You're going to learn some stuff about a new industry that's booming. And, you know, maybe somebody will take it up and, you know, start a little side business in their own hometown where it's legal. But anyways, that's my idea of a good time.
Anything.
Getting high and going to a haunted house.
Card day, it's all, you know, and look at all this. And you're helping the economy as well as entertaining people. So,
you know, it's something new. We didn't do it last year. Well, I did it last year. Nobody else did it with me except for one friend I'm not going to implicate. But I just thought it was really neat, and I thought, you know, it's different. There's actually, you know, reality shows on MSNBC right now, Pot Barons of Colorado, about people starting this industry. So I think if nothing else, it's interesting. And those who – I'm not advocating smoking at the Stanley, because you really can't smoke in public and you can't smoke in private hotel rooms. But if you want to get some edibles and take them up there, it's completely legal. You'll drink less at the convention. I did last year. It was fun. So anyways, you know, that's just, you know, a peek behind the curtain. That's my idea of a good time, getting high and going to two different haunted houses.
And we can dig it. So for people who wanted to get some of the free tickets that are left for that, for the haunted house tours at the 13th floor in Denver, they can send a message to you on Facebook. What if they were to call into the show tonight?
Yeah, they could do that too. I mean, as long as you're, you know, a registered guest for the Stanley Hotel Retreat already, or if you want to register now, you can go to the Stanley Hotel Retreat information on Indiegogo, or you can find the Facebook page, which has the Indiegogo link to it too. If anybody registers tonight and they want a free ticket, again, it's, you know, a pretty kick-ass haunted house. So if they want a free ticket to this on Wednesday and to join us before we go up there, I can't promise we're going to do a convoy on Thursday up to the hotel because it's mostly, you know, I don't want to try to keep the cars together if we're driving 2 hours. But it's a beautiful drive up there as well. And I have a few people that may not have vehicles that want to carpool. We'll you know, put together stuff like that too. But I figure we're going to have a good night on Wednesday before we head up there. We've got a good Mexican restaurant that's somewhere close. So we're going to, you know, do stuff like that. But same with the event. We've got an event at the end of the retreat as well. It's Sunday night, but we're going to have a paranormal investigation into the haunted music hall at the Stanley Hotel, and that goes overnight. So I'm telling anybody that's going, if you want to come early, you can. If you want to stay late, just go to the event on Sunday because it's 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. But we're going to have a paranormal investigation with EMF meters and everything like that, but also sit-down writing time in a very... very spooky location. It's a beautiful location, but there's a basement that has something like 13 pianos in it, and the music hall upstairs itself is a grand music hall on a smaller scale of what you would think for the Shining Hotel, but it's legendary too. A lot of great musicians have played there, and they have all the pictures of them up in the bar and framed, as well as Stephen King's picture. They do really embrace their Shining connection.
And why not? Now, a haunted music hall. Who? Come on, give me a little bit more about this. And the paranormal thing. Are there going to be any psychics that I would know from television on that are going to be, or anyone in that, or people?
You know, I thought about exploring that side, but, you know, the hotel itself has actually brought up some people sometimes. I know that they have a staff psychic. I haven't delved into that too much, but they have had folks up from, you know, prestigious investigation, you know, groups like TAPS. TAPS has been up to the Stanley Hotel for their show, but they've actually been up there for some of the weekends as well. So it's not unheard of that they might do something like that with the hotel. I was just figuring, you know, if I'm going to be looking at the budget to bring people up, it was going to be mostly guests of honor. But that's another thing I haven't really mentioned yet. We do have the author guests of honor that are going to be there that weekend, and Jack Ketchum is going to be there. He's one of my favorite authors. I really wanted to bring him up. I've had the pleasure of inviting him to some other events that we've done with the HWA and, you know, with StokerCon. I was like, okay, you know, if I'm going to invite anybody up, and he already had heard about the event, and so we talked about it. But, you know, that's the thing that I've just been so lucky with. The other guests of honor that are joining us have contacted me, and they're just like, well, what's going on with the event, and, you know, how can I get involved? And so Josh Mallerman is coming up. He's the author of Bird Box.
Well, now, have you got StokerCon now, or are we still talking about Stanley?
No, this is the Stanley Hotel, yeah.
Okay, and who's going to be there?
Retreat,
what's the names?
The authors that will be there for the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat, Jack Ketchum and Josh Mallerman and Richard Chismar from Cemetery Dance and Trent Delesny and Keelan Patrick Burke. And then I've got a guest guest presenter that's going to be doing a piece about spatial awareness, about location when it comes to haunted house stories, how, you know, the haunted, the building itself, you know, as in The Shining, is a character in the story as well. And that's a special presentation that we're going to have. But we're going to have panels, we're going to have readings, we're going to have, you know, our trip into the Rockies. I mean, there's a lot to do, but there's a lot of time, you know, on the off time to write as well.
Would you call that, like the hotel, would you call that the MacGuffin?
What's that? MacGuffin is just something that, you know, a lot of times is thrown in there to easily to wrap up a story, or, you know, not really red herring. But, you know, a lot of times I always refer to the God MacGuffin. You know, there's a lot of stories that, you know, and then suddenly there was, you know, an interference by something that was bigger than all of us that kind of wrapped it all up. And those are a lot of those bad endings, and, you know, horror is notorious for bad endings because, you know, if you like a story a lot, it's hard to let it go anyways, but, no.
Well, it sounds like a great, and I know that's just part of the lineup you have for Stanley Hotel Writers Convention. It sounds like a fantastic time altogether, especially if you can get there a few days ahead and stay a few days later.
Yeah, and, you know, I just really like the idea of bringing some guests of honor because we didn't have that last year. Last year was the first year I was just trying to figure everything out. And, you know, I had a good turnout. We had about 45 guests altogether. And then this year we have 80 people that are they're signed up so far. And I've got 20 spots that are open still for people that want to register. So, again, there are 9 days left to register for the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat. You can go to the Indiegogo or the Facebook page, which has links to both of them. But I just like the idea of having guests of honor authors there that, you know, have, you know, quite a few projects out. I mean, Jack Ketchum has so much out. And, you know, the people that are still willing to come and hang out with new authors are really the ones that are just passing it on, you know. And I I've been lucky enough to have, you know, people in the community help me out and you know, give me a step up and network with me and give me their stories more than anything, you know, as a horror library, you know, as a horror anthology editor. So I'm just so happy that, you know, we've got a group of authors that are willing to come and hang out and, you know, give us their time and, you know, enjoy a great time with us as well. But, you know, the panels and the workshops, I think, are going to be just as beneficial as the mountain air and the free time.
Well, what I'm getting from a lot of the people that I'm meeting in the genre is that two of the people they think most highly of are you and Joe Menhart. So I think maybe you're a much bigger draw for people coming in to be guest of honor than you admit to.
Oh, well, thank you. But, you know, Joe, yeah, I'd love to have Joe out as a guest of honor at some point because, you know, Joe at Crystal, if people don't know, I mean, Joe at Crystal Lake Publishing, he kind of approached me when he was doing the Horror 101, and I'd given him some of the people, you know, contacts of some people that I'd known and that, you know, I thought could really contribute to the book. And, you know, that's just it's a fantastic book. I mean, it's a huge, huge tome, but you know,
it's
got so much knowledge in it, you know. And I put a part in there about doing pitch sessions because I've been running the pitch sessions now for World Horror Convention and a couple other places over the years. But, you know, it was great to connect with him, and that's how I got brought in on a project I'm working with him right now on is Tales from the Lake, Volume 2. And a lot of the people I just name-dropped coming to the convention or coming to the StokerCon are actually on the table of contents. I think he's revealed the table of contents, but, you know, again, to name-drop, Jack Ketchum is on the table of contents for Tales from the Lake 2. Jim Goforth, Aaron Dries, Ramsey Campbell, Lisa Morton, Ed Lee, Marina Mason, an author that I worked with, had the joy of working with when she was just completely fresh out of the chute and going to her first convention, and we've worked on projects together twice now that have won her a Bram Stoker Award. And I mean, of course, you know, the writing's got to be there, but hey, you know, having an editor that you know, kind of can you know, polish those fantastic pieces never hurts either. But
I'm sure the table her out too.
She seems very interesting. Rena is a fantastic author, and I mean, she's mm-hmm. she's just you know, at first she was like a lot of us. At first she really was sort of anxious about going to events, and still I think she's shyer than she is, but I think that's a lot of us. You know, I've convinced a lot of authors. It's like, you know, you've got a convention that's coming that's 100 miles from you or is in your hometown. I mean, I try to convince everybody to come out because even if it's not your thing, I didn't think conventions would ever be my thing. And, well, my first World Horror Convention that I went to, I thought it was going to be, you know, all Jasons and Freddies and just, you know, costume contests. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's the difference between an industry convention and a fan convention, you know. And I like sort of a mixture of the two. I like it's really neat having filmmakers at a writer's convention because, you know, that's an area of writing that a lot of people want to go into is writing scripts. And I think there's a lot of good crossover. It's just that, you know, there is a difference. And after going to World Horror Convention, I just knew that it was a great networking experience. And more than anything, the horror community is just such lovely people. I mean, it's not I worked with a lot of people, and I don't want to blow smoke or anything, but they really are. It's like, you know, any frustrations
okay.
or...
To somebody who's not involved in, because you think about, you know, people always say that if you see somebody who might, like, especially soap operas, where somebody plays one character for decades, and it's usually if it's the bitchiest person on the soap, they're usually the sweetest person out in real life. Because I remember my grandmother used to talk about a soap character. She'd say, if I ever see that hussy walking down the street, I'd just slap her face. You know, because she really, because, you know, people don't believe. And yet, you know, and vice versa. Where, and here you are saying, well, you know, the horror genre, those are the nicest people. Friendly.
I still think that some of us, you know, we still side glance each other every once in a while. I'm like, man, I can't believe you went there with that story. But it's almost it's a pride thing. It's like, you know, well, you had the courage to really push the envelope. And, you know, we admire things like that. But I would say writing horror is cathartic. And I think because so much nastiness is, you know, purged onto the page, a lot of times it just leaves you with some of the sweetest people you've ever met. And I mean, you know, you go to the Stoker Awards, and it could be any other convention of any other professionals. We could be doctors, we could be teachers. We clean up pretty well, you know. And I'm going to use that as an obvious segue, but StokerCon 2016 is the other project I really need to mention.
Oh, yes. Well, I was going to bring it up because I wanted to begin the name of my other friend, too, Emma Audsley, while we were still on Talking the Lake. Emma was on a previous show that I had.
Leave it to me. It's like, honestly, it's going to be, on Tales from the Lake, Emma and I will be doing the editing. And I know Joe's working on it with us, too. But I think that's one of the cool things that Joe has been able to do with Crystal Lake is really, you know, he's learned to delegate and that you can't, you know, micromanage everything. And I tried that for years. And that's a conversation I had with him before, once I realized what he was doing. But, you know, bringing me in as an editor was a way to free him up to do other projects that he needs to attend to. And, you know, when you're looking at something as in depth as I always call it developmental editing because it is still, you know, even though I'm taking stories from some of the best people out there, I can still make tweaks and I can still make suggestions because, you know, we want to take good stories and make them great. And if it's a great story already, there's still things we can tweak, you know. Let's try to make the best thing that we possibly can for our readers. So I think it's big of Joe to be able to do that. And he's certainly brought, you know, Emma comes with a great track record, too. And, I mean, I think you know, it's a good thing to do and to work with different people. He's bringing some other editors on some other projects, and I think it's really neat. It affords him a chance to work with a lot of the best people that are out there.
So let's talk about taking all these nice, wonderful people that are just the loveliest people you could ever meet and taking them to Sin City. I think the page said Double Down in Sin City on the homepage for StokerCon 2016.
Hey, it's go for broke, all or nothing. You know, we're going to Sin City. StokerCon 2016 is well, honestly, I mean, not to get, you know, dark for a minute, but it's one of Rocky Wood's last wishes, and you know, it's something that he'd been working on for a while before, you know, I ever talked to him about it. But it was StokerCon is the HWA's. It's going to be a yearly convention, and it's something that they had done before with the Bram Stoker Award weekends every other year, but the idea was to rebrand and to do a convention of our own by our own people every single year. And so StokerCon 2016 is going to be in Las Vegas. We're staying at the Flamingo Hotel, and it's got a bit of its own haunted history with Bugsy Siegel. We posted some stuff about that up on the page itself. But it is May 12th through the 15th, 2016. So there's plenty of time to plan. But we've decided to really try something new with this convention. And we've had a great think tank of people, including Lisa Morton, the HWA president, and Rena Mason, and Brad Hodson, and John F.T. Taft, and myself. And some help from John Palisano as well, but we've come up with an idea and a new angle for our writers' convention, and we have something called Horror University, and Horror University at StokerCon 2016 is our workshops programs, and what we've done is through the HWA and, you know, working with some of the best people out there, we've asked them what sort of workshop they'd like to put on for our guests and what their specialties are. And so to date, we've got 15 different workshops, and we've got authors ranging from, again, Jack Ketchum. I don't mind name dropping. I'll do it every time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Authors. And Jonathan Mayberry, Lucy Snyder. We've got Linda Addison doing some stuff with poetry. We've got Tim Wagner, Aaron Stearns for doing work with screenwriting. I mean, all of the workshops are actually on our site, but you know, we've got 15 of them here, so I'm not going to list everyone. But we're just so excited to offer workshops that we know after you leave Vegas for the weekend, and we're competing with Vegas. You've got Vegas outside your front doors that you can leave us for any time and just go, I don't want to learn anything. But we've made the workshops very affordable, and I'm not pitching anything here, but each workshop, except for one, which is a more in-depth, longer workshop with three editors, every workshop is 2 hours long, $25. And if you want five workshops will be $100. So we've got it down to $20 a workshop.
That is a bargain.
And we really like the idea. We want people to spend $100. It's not that we need the $100 because we're splitting it with the others that are doing this. So the rest of the money is going into the event. But we want the workshops to be of value to you, and we also want the workshops to be really affordable, and we want you to be able to take as many as you want. So we figure five is pretty good. You know, I'm probably, as a co-chair, going to go to as many as I possibly can and ditch out when I have to if I get called for duty, but I'm just so excited that we've got these, and then we have these presentations coming up as well that will be hour-long presentations. Our guest of honor, I probably should name drop here because we've got a fantastic lineup for our guest of honor as well. But again, Jack Ketchum will be there as a guest of honor. We've got editor Alan Datlow, who does the best horror of the year and has done just everything from Omni magazine to almost any great horror anthology you're going to pick up. Every other one's going to be something by Alan Datlow. So we've got Leslie Klinger, who did the new annotated H.P. Lovecraft and the annotated Sandman. These are beautiful books that are just, I believe it's, I won't say the press because I'm going to get it wrong right now, but it's one of the presses that ends with P. I know that much. We've got a guest of honor author, Daniel Knopf, who is the writer for Carnival and for NBC's The Blacklist, as well as NBC's Dracula. We've got guest of honor Marge Simon, who is a multiple Bram Stoker winning poet.
Yeah.
Marge is fantastic. Yeah. And so we've got her as a guest of honor, and she's going to be covering some stuff with poetry as well for us. And I'm really excited about this. I met this man at Tucson Festival Books. I waited around to the very end when he was signing about 2.5 hours worth of people's books. I waited to the very end because I didn't want to take up his time, but I did get a chance to chat with him afterwards, and I made a connect with him, and I've seen him 3 times now at Tucson Festival Books speaking. He's a fantastic speaker, author of over 800 books that he's all typed with one finger. That is guest of honor R.L. Stein from Goosebumps.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
Goosebumps, Fear City. And, you know, there's going to be a Goosebumps movie coming out. I believe it's going to be this October with Jack Black starring.
Isn't he at Thriller Fest right now, or was last week at Thriller Fest in Nashville?
He might be. He might be. I'm not really sure. I do know that he goes to the New York events, but yeah, I'm just excited about having R.L. Stein out. We're gonna have a reading that's an all ages reading. So we're gonna, you know, if people are, you know, have their kids or they're in Vegas and they want to bring their kids down, we will have an all ages reading. I've seen them do these interactive readings. They're a lot of fun. It's almost like choose your own adventure, but you're doing it with R.L. Stein and you're filling in the blanks. He's just phenomenal. And then our toastmaster for the event will be Stephen Jones, and he's the editor of the UK series Best New Horror, and also a couple different other lines from Mammoth and whatnot. He also puts out these huge anthologies that are just, if you look at the horror anthology on Amazon, it's either going to be Ellen or Stephen's work that pops up first for sure.
and you know what's so cool about Stein too, for me personally, is that about 10 years ago, I was just finishing up college, but I had a minor in Spanish, and I had a teacher that we had to start reading books that were about the I don't know, about like an eighth grade level of Spanish, and he had like kids' books. And then he gave us the first one, and then we had to go choose ours from then on. But it had to be like at a young adult or younger than that level. And so I would go look for the Spanish books. I was like, okay, what can I read? And I started reading the Goosebumps. Well, they were Escalofríos in Spanish. So I started reading all of his books in Spanish, all of those. And I remember though when I would see people, because, you know, I went to college a little bit later than most people. So people see me buy that and they go, really? what are you reading that for? And then somebody I worked with at a job said, why are you reading that? I said, well, for school to help me read. And he said, well, why don't you get Harry Potter? And I said, well, that's too big. Because I was thinking, you know, it was a small book. You had to read one every 2 weeks. And this guy looked at me like, well, God, not only are you stupid, but you're lazy. So he's hearing me read a book for a 12-year-old. And they're fantastic books. And,
well, you know,
and,
it's so neat. His reading, as you're seeing now, not just parents bringing their kids, but we're seeing second and third generation even of people that are turning their kids and their grandkids even now onto Goosebumps. And I think that's just so neat, you know.
I think it's marvelous. And I think that's and you're right. When, you know, they always say if you want your kids to read, you know, if they see you read, they'll probably be more inclined to read. And
absolutely.
I love seeing generations reading. And, you know, here's something else. Let me tell you. I've got, before we get on, because I've got so many more things to talk to you about before our time is up, is that, you know what, there's, I love being in the company of such exciting, energetic, creative people like you. And I had just found out about a show. Actually, it's another show, a podcast, but as you can find it on iTunes, it's called Pop Anime Comics Lounge. And if it's a lounge, I like it already. But Pop Anime Comics Lounge, and the host tells me he has all kinds of guests, comic book writers and artists, voice actors, wrestlers, okay? And those guys are pretty, you know, I mean, they're characters too. They're pretty interesting. And authors,
oh, yeah, totally.
And his authors have included Howard Cruz, Debbie Derryberry, I think that's something from Ben and Jerry, no, Miles Greb, Leva Bates, and more. And he says it's on every Sunday. It comes on every Sunday. There's a new episode. If you subscribe on iTunes, look for Pop Anime Comics. And if you didn't get it all down, but you're interested in any of this, and it sounds like it's got something for everybody, I will have the information here on the page. I will also have the information on the Blog Talk Radio page. I'll also have information for it on my Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook, as well as if I can hire somebody to help me type all this stuff, I'll have everything that RJ Cavender is going to be doing for the next year, which I think is a work of 12 people. But Pop Anime Comics, check that out on iTunes. Subscribe for that, and it's a fresh show every Sunday. So back to now. You're let's go back to StokerCon. You're the co-chair, but you're also the pitch sessions coordinator. Am I correct?
Right, yeah, I've ran the pitch sessions now at the Bram Stoker Awards weekends since 2011, I think, or that's when I started pitching in as a volunteer. But between those and another convention, I've been running pitch sessions now on and off for 5 or 6 years, and it's just really rewarding. I think as a it worked out in ways I didn't expect it to, but as a freelance editor, it's kind of good to know all these markets and everything that's going on at any given time. So anything I publish, I can almost find a home for if I really try. But the pitch sessions at StokerCon, that's something I'm just really proud of. I can't say, unfortunately, right now who we're bringing in, but we're trying to up the ante from World Horror Convention, because at this point, you know, it's just a different beast. And you know, having the power of the HWA behind us, and having, you know, these connections, and then just the authors that we know and that we've worked with, and that we the companies that they've worked with and their agents, and being able to, you know, connect through the major publishers, it's really neat how this networking works. And every day I'm just blown away by some of the emails I'm sending to some of these production companies and to some of these, you know, major publishers that are considering coming out to our event. And I think that's a draw. That was one of the first things that I found when I went to a convention, I'm like, well, what's a pitch session, you know? And I'd have explained to me, and I'll even explain it here, you know, in encapsulated form, but, you know, you have a project, and if your project is finished, that's usually when you want to pitch it. But, you know, if you don't have an agent and you don't have a publisher that you're familiar with, pitch sessions are a great way to do it. And my last pitch session had 9 editors, publishers, and agents all together, a mix of the 3, 9 places you could pitch to. And, you know, we, in advance, we like to let people know, you know, this is what the publisher is looking for, this is what they don't want, this is the word count, this is, you know, all the specs in mm-hmm. advance, so that when you sign up, you know, you'll not be barking up the wrong tree. Because I've had some really bad pitch sessions on both sides of the table where I was either trying to pitch some idea. I got a chance to pitch a guy in Burbank, a major producer for, you know, major movie chains major movie franchises. And I pitched him an idea I came up with like 5 minutes later. And he's like, do you have this written yet? And I'm like, no, I just came up with the idea. Isn't it good? And I mean, he was so not impressed with me. And every time he walked past me at the convention, he just kind of like rolled his eyes like, oh, that dipshit again. But so you really, you know, I put the rules up. I, you know, there's not really rules for the pitch sessions, but I'd like to put up, you know, good guidelines, things to follow. I've got an article, the one that went into Horror 101 from Crystal Lake Publishing. But I do like to have the authors prepared for it, but I also like to bring in, you know, as many heavy hitters as I can, because every year projects sell at our pitch sessions, and every year I want to go higher and bigger. And so for the first StokerCon, I really want to bring in, you know, because we're close to LA, I'm hoping that we can bring in some production companies from Hollywood, and, you know, not you know the kind of companies that put out the sort of projects that we all like and see and are familiar with. And, you know, I'd like to give, you know, a chance to some of the you know, newer publishers. And there's some standbys that always come and always end up finding projects that they are going to publish. And that's really big for me. You know, anytime that there's a company that says, well, you know, we've never really taken anything from pitch sessions, I'm always skeptical, because I'm like, well, you know, maybe I should give a spot to somebody that's really looking and really will find something. But it's hit or miss. But, you know, there's 2 good hours that every publisher is taking, you know, 2 good hours of pitches, and that comes out to about 8 authors. So they fill pretty quick, but that's just another level of you know, programming that we have at StokerCon. We're going to have panels and of course the workshops that I mentioned before, and obviously the parties, and, you know, that's we're going to have a good time, because we are in Vegas, and we're near the newest part there that was built, the Link, where it has the observation wheel. I'm forgetting the links, I believe the name of it is, but it is an observation wheel that gives you like a sky view of Vegas. So, I mean, we've got a few cool things planned. We are just very excited about it. Yeah, and I mean, you know, if you can't have a good time in Vegas, you're just not doing something right.
You're not trying. You just don't want
no.
to. You're not trying. Put a toe tag on them. Okay, that's all you can do. Listen, if you're listening, you want to ask a question of R.J. Cavender about his work, or about StokerCon, or Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat, or anything else, the number is, what is this number? 646-716-9922. That number, again, 646-716-9922. And well, let me ask you this. Talking about pitch sessions, have you ever had have you ever been on watching a pitch session or involved in one, and you see someone who, you know, a beginner, somebody who's there for the first time, that gives you a little indication or reminder of, say, a young you or a young, like a younger version of someone else? You can see like the budding artist or the budding author coming out in them.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what's interesting about the horror community and being part of the HWA, the Horror Writers Association, is that, like, we all come in at a certain stage and we're green, and we, and I'm not saying we all make mistakes, but yeah, we all make mistakes, and we all, you know, especially social events where, you know, I'm going to admit it, you know, I'm not exactly the most social butterfly until you get me into a group where it's, you know, a group of people that I, you know and understand, and we have a lot in common with, and there's that simpatico moment. But, you know, I, there are certain things that a lot of us did when we were green and we came into the community, and, you know, there's little mistakes that some of us make, but then also just like these cute, ambitious things that it's like, okay, cool, like you haven't had the hope knocked out of you yet. You know? But I think that's what's neat. We do have like a mentoring program in the HWA, and, you know, it's cyclical. I found, you know, I joined the HWA, I don't even know when, but my first World Horror Convention was, we're coming up on 10 years. By the time StokerCon happens, it'll be 10 years since my first convention. And in 10 years, because of the networking, because of the friendships I've made, because of the working situations and the projects that have come my way, mm-hmm. because of networking and the conventions and World Horror Convention and, well, and Horror Writers Association, I found that, you know, even in a 10-year period of time, you can go from being an absolute newbie with your first book to being, you know, somewhere in the middle. You know, it's like I'm clearly not, you know, in the grandfathers of the industry sort of category. And then we, you know, have some people that are making a 40-year progression through being a newbie when they started into being, you know, pillars of the horror community. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel that, you know, at this point I've mentored a lot of people, and I've worked with hundreds of people, which is just, you know, outstanding. I mean, to be able, and I think that's one of the best things about anthologies and in collected works. It's like, you know, in one fell swoop, you can work with 30 authors, and, you know, then you have all mm-hmm. of those connections. They have the connection to you, and I mean, it all is interconnected within the horror community. And some people might say that's bad and it's an echo chamber, but it's not when you're networking and you're putting mm-hmm. out good projects, great companies, and great authors. You know, but yeah, I do see some of these things repeating for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about the Horror Writers Association. Why can anyone join in? Is there a certain criteria for what you've written or what you've done? Can fans or enthusiasts join? And tell us about that.
Yeah, not to misspeak and not to, you know, give the wrong information, but so I'll just give the website to preface what I'm going to say, but horror.org. Horror.org is where you go to learn more about the Horror Writers Association. But, yeah, the HWA, you do not have to – there is not a criteria to join on certain levels. You can join as a supporting author, and you can also join as an associate where you're either a professional, you know, a publisher, an editor, where you don't necessarily have to send in a, you know, proof of publishing a certain amount of stories. But then there is the active membership for authors where when you get past a certain point, and I believe it's 3 published pieces, I'm not going to even quote the length or how much you're paid, but once you get to a certain point and you have made some sales and some publishing history, you can join as an active member, and that entitles you to voting for the Bram Stoker Awards. And that's really the only difference when you're looking at the different tiers of mm-hmm. the HWA. And again, I've probably gotten something wrong in the description here, and I'm going to hear it from somebody. But I would stress that one of the neatest things is that, you know, if you go there now, you can actually join and just try it out till the end of the year, and they have a discounted price on that. So the HWA does make things like StokerCon 2016 possible. They also mm-hmm. have horror writers scholarships, and that's one thing I really need to mention with StokerCon is that we actually have a scholarship that is attached. The scholarship is our scholarship from hell. I named that one. It's our scholarship from hell program for Horror University at StokerCon. Woo, it's getting long. We're having to give out diplomas. Yeah, but yeah. No, what that is that one person, After we announce all of our workshop authors and our final guests of honor and presentation authors, so near the end of the month, we're going to have an essay contest, and we're going to announce it on our website. We're going to announce it on our Facebook group, which is very active for an event that's happening in 2016. It's surprising how active we are in there, but we're going to keep it going if we can. But we're going to have an essay contest, and the essay contest is we haven't picked a topic yet, but the winner of the essay will win a scholarship from hell, and will win a free 4-day stay at the Flamingo. All airfare paid was anywhere within the contiguous 48. So sorry if you live in Hawaii, but we're not flying you out here. But we will fly you to Vegas from anywhere in the contiguous 48. And then when you get to Vegas, you can take as many workshops as you want. So the essay will probably center around something where you're going to explain to us why this will help your writing career. But I think it's fantastic. You don't have to be an HWA member to send in an essay for this. You don't have to be a registered member, a registered guest for SoakerCon. So anybody can write an essay. Anybody can let us know why this weekend would be great for them. So we're going to be announcing that at the end of the month. I think that's a great reason to go to SoakerCon,
com. Everybody, you heard that, write that down. Don't forget, if you want to get the scholarship from hell, actually, I should do that. Now, something, I've got a couple more things that I've got to ask you about, okay?
Sure.
We're talking about not one time, RJ, not two times, three times, Bram Stoker Award nominated editor. That's you for the Horror Library Anthology Series. Talk about it.
Yeah, the Horror Library Anthology Series. My idea when I wanted to put together a collection of stories, and this stems back from reading Clive Barker's Books of Blood, I knew someday I wanted to put together a bunch of stories, and I thought maybe they'd be mine, but maybe they'd be by other authors. And so when my first publishing credit in the horror field, it would be Horror Library Volume 1. And we hit our first convention with a book that said Volume 1 on it, and some people are like, that's kind of presumptuous that there's going to be a Volume 2. What if no one buys this? And I said, well, you know, it stemmed from a writing group and an online showcase. And I said, we've simply put the best stories that we could find in the last year and a half into a book and edited the hell out of it, and we hope it's good. And people liked it, you know, and so it's been a series now, and it's been thrice a finalist for the Bram Stoker Award. And not to go into cliches, but it is an honor to be nominated by your peers and by readers and by members of the HWA for a book. It doesn't matter if I brought home a statue. I mean, it really is. When you look at the other people that are nominated with you, it's just staggering sometimes to think that you've been able to do something that you liked that you get attention for. But we're actually to the point now where we've had five volumes of the Horror Library, and we've just put out our best of. So it's the Best of Horror Library, volumes 1 through 5. And you can find that on Amazon. Our Kindle copy is coming out at the very end of this month, so we've got a pre-sale going on right now. And we've got a tie-in too, where if you buy the paperback, a lot of people like to do that. They like a copy for their shelf and then a copy for the Kindle, and you know, maybe keep the copy on the shelf pristine, and who knows. But I'll sign it if I see in person. But we have a deal where if you buy the paperback, you get the Kindle copy for like 60% off. So we think it's a good deal. But our best of is 33 stories, and we've got stories from one of my favorite authors as well, Bentley Little, is in this collection. And again, Rena Mason, Tracy McBride, Lauren Dixon, Ray Garten, the names I can name drop all day. Jeff Strand, who's been in all of the volumes except for, I think, one. It's quite a table of contents, 33 authors and 300 pages. I'm very proud, and it certainly is the best of it. Seems to be getting pretty good reviews.
You should be. You're also co-editor of the Bram Stoker Award finalist, Horror for Good, a charitable anthology. It's also from Cutting Block Press.
Yeah, Mark Steinau actually had started that project, and it's an AIDS charity. And he had started the project. Checked around with other authors, and we were kind of looking for a theme to go with, and looking for the best stories we could. And we got some. I was really excited because like the Horror Library anthologies are all brand new stories, so I never print reprints, and that's sort of limited me because you'll never get a new Stephen King story unless you've already worked with him, you know. And like there are other authors where it's just really hard to get new stuff because they're not writing new stuff. Or, you know, if you really want to go back, I mean, you know, there's authors that have passed away that have fantastic stuff that should be in books as well. So it was really neat to be able to do some reprints, and we did some of my favorite reprints. One of my absolute favorite reprints by Jack Ketchum that's in, that's in Horror for Good, but it's a story that I saw him read at Bram Stoker Award weekend, Long Island, and it's a story called Returns that literally had like a third of the audience in tears. It is a beautiful story, and we've got some really hard-hitting stuff in there too. Mm. Being a charity anthology, we really wanted to, you know, we didn't want to do happy stories that are horror. That's just, it doesn't make any sense. And cozy horror stories, and, you know, we really wanted, you know, a mix of everything like we possibly could. But the idea sort of is that good. That if there's a theme of anything, that there's sort of like, amidst the evil, there's still good out there, and it's a hell of a book. And all proceeds still go to AMFAR, the charity for AIDS research.
Then that's from Cutting Block Press. That's your.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And why, when I was researching you, why did I see so many pictures of you with Ouija boards, big Ouija boards, size of a small dining table?
There's one of the retreats that I'm doing here in Tucson. I've actually changed it. We're going to be doing it in 2016 instead of 2015, but I wanted to pair it with the Winchester retreat that I'm doing and kind of promote the two together. But the Tucson retreat that I'm doing here is the Tucson Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead Festival. And Tucson, a lot of people might not know, but we have the largest Day of the Dead festival anywhere outside of Mexico. And the idea is sort of morphed here. It's not exactly the same as the celebration that they have in Mexico, but the traditions are. It's just that it's all-inclusive here. So not only do we have people, you know, doing the face painting of the skulls, and, you know, it is a celebration and, you know, sort of a send-off of our loved ones that we've lost in past years, but it's also a mix of everything here in Tucson. So you'll have the Scottish Bagpipers Union in, and then you've got, you know, other different groups and different unions, but like everybody takes place in this parade here in town, and you watch it, and after it goes by you, you walk in the parade and become part of it, and there's this huge finale at the end, and it usually involves a fire performance group we have here in town named Flam Chin. And the idea is that when the parade goes by you, if there's a loved one you're thinking of or just, you know, to honor your dead, you write their name down on a piece of paper, and there's this one float that goes by that everybody throws their little pieces of paper in. And at the end of the ceremony, the big ball is set on fire, and everyone's, you know, loved ones, you know, they know that we're thinking of them. They're released. You know, it means something to everyone. You know, a little different for everybody. But the idea of it is just beautiful. And it's such a party. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a like Tucson taking over the streets. And like I've never seen a fight. I've never seen an arrest. I've never seen a person overly drunk at Dia de los Muertos. So it's just like this big like street party. And the hotel we're staying at, getting to the Ouija board. The hotel that we're staying at is Hotel Congress. And Hotel Congress is the hotel where they captured, I'm forgetting right now. I'll have to look that up. It's got history. But it is another old, creepy hotel. And, Dillinger, I'm sorry. That's where Dillinger was captured. I don't know too much about the history of that. But it does as well have a haunted room. So I have another option where there may be, you know, writings going on from a haunted room. But downstairs, Congress has this huge coffee table that's probably 12 by 6. That's a Ouija board. And it looks quite old. You know, it's the Parker Brother design, so it can't be that old. But every time I've gone there and I've shown friends or authors that are visiting the table, everybody's had the same reaction. They'll put their drink down on the table and they're like, I could use this as an oracle. And I thought, I actually have a Facebook friend that does Ouija boards. Maybe I'll have an oracle built. So I had this big oracle built. And so I will have probably one of the world's largest workable Ouija boards at one of my events.
Let me ask, are you a native of Tucson?
No, I grew up in Flint, Michigan. Well, actually Grand Blanc, Michigan, right outside of Flint. But I was born in Flint, Michigan.
Okay, because when I read all these things, Host of Stanley Hood, Tucson Festival of Books Writers Retreat, Tucson Dia de los Muertos Writers Retreat, and all these things, I'm thinking, okay, did a lot of this just come to you? Were you just born in the right place, or were you born in the place where you belong? I just want to, you know.
No, you know, honestly, I moved out here in my early 20s, and like half of America, like your grandparents either live in Arizona or Florida, and my grandparents lived here in Arizona, and so yeah, when I in my early 20s, I just needed a change. Like Flint, Michigan was getting to me; it was so cold, and it was economically, I mean, the town had just kind of collapsed, and I just wanted to go someplace else, and I'd loved Arizona, and I talked to my grandparents, and so they let me move out with them, you know, for a little while and get on my feet and get my own place, and I'd moved up to Tucson, I'd moved out to California before, but I've returned to Tucson, and I just love this town. I think it's just a neat place. I mean, I've lived here now for about a decade on and off, and I'm still discovering new things to do here, especially places to eat. There's a lot of places to eat here, but I like the idea. I've had you know, retreats that I've had here. We had one at a bed and breakfast, but I've also got upcoming, I've started a personal one-on-one workshop retreat, and the little place where I live in this little apartment village, I almost want to say, because it's got these gardens around it, and it's just a lovely, cute little place that my complex manager is very proud of. And she has a little casita that she runs out on Airbnb to people that are traveling and stuff like that, and it's right next to the pool. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, this would be a great getaway for somebody that just, you know, want something very different from wherever they're from, because Arizona is very different from almost anywhere else. But it's just you know, a nice little place that I can get rental on for a week. And I'm like, you can have an editor at your beck and call for 7 days, bounce ideas mm-hmm. off me. I'll edit up to 150 pages. Just come and hang out with me for a week. So I've had about a dozen people look into it, and we're going to start doing that. And I think, you know, anytime you can get access to an editor as a writer, take mm-hmm. it, you know. And I mean, if it's some money that needs to be spent, save up for it. It's just a matter of yeah. prioritizing. I'm never going to get that boat I'm saving up for. I'm not making a killing. I want to keep things affordable, because the more authors out there that are working with editors, the more projects that are saleable when they hit the marketplace, you know. And it's just nice to know that. You know, I think most of us are just so willing to, like, prove that we can make your work better. And I actually feel a small amount of guilt still doing this for a living, because I did it for a decade for free to build my portfolio. So now being paid for something I love doing, on top of the fact that I did this for so long for free, there's still a little bit amount of guilt involved, where I'm just going to overcompensate. I want to make sure that people are getting their money's worth, you know.
Oh, but you're sharing the love. You're sharing the love everywhere. And by sharing opportunities and bringing people in and from both sides of the table on this, people to get the big names and the editors, as well as the people who are the aspirants, I think you're sharing the love all around, and that's fantastic. I've only got a couple of minutes left, actually, and I am just so grateful to have had you on here, RJ. I hope you'll come back sometime.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you.
Thank you, and same to you. And maybe before, maybe in October, before Stanley Hotel Writers, if you want to. Don't forget, why don't you tell them again about the how to submit for free tickets for the haunted house, 13th floor.
Sure, yeah.
In Denver.
Anybody that's going to the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat that's going to be there on Wednesday night, they just need to send me a Facebook message over, or, you know, if we're not Facebook friends yet, just you could send an email to horrorlibrary@hotmail.com. Understand this is a live broadcast right now. If it's being rebroadcast later on, that's not void. It's a void and no longer a deal. But I've got 10 tickets, and anybody that wants to join us on Wednesday, again, if you're wanting to go to the retreat and you haven't registered yet, you can look up the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat up on Indiegogo's campaign, or on Facebook. It's easy to search on Facebook as well, Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat, and that'll have links. And 9 more days to register, and that's a wrap on that, yeah.
Yeah, and all you got to do, trust me, is put RJ Cavender in any search engine, and you're going to find out all kind of groovy stuff that you did not even know of. And you're just going to be down a little rabbit hole of hell.
I am Googleable.
Yes, amen. And don't forget, too, folks, my friend over at Pop Anime Comics Lounge on iTunes. It's a podcast. Subscribe to it. And they have comic book writers, artists, voice actors, wrestlers, authors. New show every single Sunday. So definitely look them up, and I'm going to have all of their information on wherever I have information here on this page later. Sounds good to me. And RJ Cavender, delighted to have you here, and please come back and please keep scaring the dickens out of us, okay?
I sure will. Thank you again for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. This is Madam Perry, Madam Perry Salon. So happy to have RJ Cavender. Check out everything. Check out the Stanley Hotel Writers Retreat and the StokerCon 26. Stanley Hotel Writers, that's in October 22nd to 25th this year. Also, the StokerCon 2016 is at the Flamingo in Vegas. And we know, but the ghost of Bugsy Siegel may be there. Who knows? Who knows? So thanks for being here.